Do you guys know of a cartoon called Calvin and Hobbes? You ever heard of Calvin and Hobbes? It's in the newspaper. It's like a little like written article. It's in the paper. And Calvin and Hobbes, if you don't know who they are, Calvin's a little boy who has an imaginary tiger, and they have adventures together. And one cartoon I had seen recently that Calvin, now first of all, let me paint a little bit of a picture. Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin's a little boy, Hobbes is the tiger. Well, Calvin and Hobbes are under a tree. It's a beautiful day, laying on their backs, hands behind their heads, right? Very casual, very pondering life, what's going on. Well, Calvin says, Hobbes, I've found the secret to serenity and inner peace. Hobbes, of course, looking very serious and interested. Calvin says, I've come to the realization that the world revolves around me. And everyone else will feel a whole lot more serene and peaceful once they recognize that. Yeah. You know, the sad part is, though, even though it's funny, most of us think a lot like Calvin. Even though we may not want to admit it, we do. But doesn't it make sense, though? I mean, that there would be a lot less conflict and a lot more happiness in our lives if folks just realized our importance and our wisdom when it comes to life. Now, I'm not going to lie, but I think this about myself at work a lot.
You are good at your job.
I'm just like, if you would just do what I say.
That's right.
There wouldn't be these questions. There wouldn't be this stress in my life.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But, you know, we can't have everything how we want it. So we do the best that we can. But guess who else thought this way? That's right. Guess who else thought this way? That is, right before he was kicked out of heaven. Uh-huh. The funny thing, though, about this is that almost everything and everybody in the universe did revolve around Satan. Everything except for the throne of God, and everyone except for God himself. Go to Ezekiel for me, please. Let's go to Ezekiel. Like I tell my youth group kids, it's in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Start there. Towards the end.
Towards the end.
Towards the end. If you hit Matthew, you've gone too far. Make a left, go back. So Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. Ezekiel here is prophesying against the king of, I'm going to say Tyre, but I always say Tyre, so we'll just go with whichever one pleases you. So anyway, Ezekiel's prophesying here against the king. God's giving him a warning because the king is acting a little out of control. He's acting like he wants to be like God. So God's giving him a warning. And here's what he says in Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 17. You were the perfection of wisdom and beauty. Now I'm reading in the New Living Translation version. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone, red carnelian, chrysolite, white moonstone, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your great wealth filled you with violence and you sinned. So I banished you from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with the pride because of all your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. Now, I don't know if you caught what I caught, But even though Ezekiel was prophesying to the king of Tyre, it sounds a lot like David. Sorry, scratch that. Sounds a lot like Adam. Mm-hmm. And a lot like what Satan did.
Right.
What happened to him. Because think about it. Satan had it all. Satan had it all. He had the looks. He had the money. He had the clothes. And all the power of the highest position in the universe. Second only to the Creator. Mm-hmm. Yet all that he had still wasn't enough. So before I move on any further, I'm going to share with you tonight something very important. The secret to happiness. I bet you're thinking, really? Please, Leanne, share me your wisdom because I need to know it. I want to be happy every day. I want to wake up singing songs of joy. Please. So yes, I will teach you tonight the secret to happiness.
More tennis shoes.
Or boots.
That's right, or boots.
We will go there later. We will visit that later. Mm-hmm. But the problem is this, guys. The problem is this. We don't find contentment in our present circumstances. Mm-hmm. Whatever they are. Whether they are great or whether they are a little unsavory. Whatever they may be, we've got to find contentment somewhere in there. Satan had allowed himself to believe that serenity and peace, ultimate happiness, would only be found in possessing something that he didn't already have. Mm. Isn't that how we live our lives? Mm. But on a much lower level, I mean, at least we think that maybe it's on a lower level. We think we need things to make us happy. To fill that void that we find in our lives sometimes. But see, Satan's problem was his need for something greater meant taking on God. And we all know how that worked out. But before you judge the foolishness of Satan and his fight for the throne of God, let's look inward. Because maybe with us, like I said, we're not quite, our situation isn't quite as grand or we're not as audacious as Satan was. But it's still the same old song and dance. Mm-hmm. I'm in control, not God. And it sounds harsh, right? It sounds like I would never say those words. I would never say, I got it, God, I'm good, I'm in control, you're not. We would never actually say those words out loud, but they're in our heart. Exactly. So, first of all, though, where did we ever get the stupid idea that getting our way all the time would make us happy?
Yeah.
From the same person that was fired by God.
There you go.
The same person. And the problem is, the thing is, because he was fired, because he was a disgruntled employee, all he wants to do now is make our lives miserable.
Right.
Because he was fired by God, so he's thinking, well, I'm going to go run around and make everybody as miserable as me. So imagine, Satan had it all, but it just wasn't enough. He just wasn't content with all that God had given him. He thought more would make him happy. But folks, happiness is fleeting. Mm.
You're right.
It comes from the outside. Outside things. From things we think we need to have, like new boots.
You're right.
Yes, new tennis shoes, a new car, that promotion we're looking for. Or maybe if I move to another town, another state. Just maybe. But see, the thing is, though, the search for those new boots. Like, oh, I want to find those boots. They're going to make me so happy. They're going to be the best boots ever. And you find those boots and you're happy for a little bit because they're new. Or when that box comes in the mail and you drive up to the house and you see the box, you go, oh my gosh, those are my boots. I'm so excited. And for a moment, you're so happy about these boots. You know, and you put them on and they're perfect. And everything about them is great, and you go to work, and they fit work, and I'm talking about me right now, just so you guys know. This is a real, true life story. And these boots are great. But I've worn them a few times now, and as much as I like them, I don't have that same excitement I had day one that now I have on day six, on day 10. I still like them, but I don't have that same excitement that I had the first time. So these things, yes, even though it may be great to move to a new town and say, if I just move somewhere else, if I just live at the beach,
amen,
my life would be so much better. My problems would go away. My stress would leave me, maybe for about 5 days.
Right.
I'll give you 5 days.
That's right.
But guess what happens when you move somewhere else? You're still there. You're still there. You are the one that goes to the new place.
Get away from yourself.
Exactly, and you can't get away from Satan either. Satan's waiting for you over there going, come on over to California. I'm here too.
Yeah.
I'm here too. He might. He just might. So happiness is fleeting. So I'm going to say stop striving to be happy all the time. It's fleeting.
Uh-huh.
Because if we spend our lives worrying about trying to be happy, we may never be happy.
Uh-huh.
So happiness comes from happenings.
Mm.
It's an emotion. Like sadness, fear, anger. And these all come from the soul man. And we know who the soul man is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where our mind, our will, and our emotions reside. That's the human part of us.
Right.
That's the human side of us. That's the part that says, I want to do what I want, when I want. And no one can tell me otherwise. So, we know our soul man can get a little out of control sometimes. And we need to get in the Word to keep him in check. We need to find contentment in our present circumstances. But how do we do that? What is that secret to happiness?
The Word.
Amen. Let's go to Matthew 5. The heart of Christianity is an upside-down philosophy. It's about seeing the universe revolving around Jesus and making sure things go God's way instead of our way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yahweh. So Matthew 5, are we there? All right. Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, it's upside down. Because Jesus' words here go against everything the world and our heart says about being happy. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, those who hunger and thirst. These all don't really sound like good things to be. But God says, be those things, and guess what? All these great things will happen. So if you are this, then you will be this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What? There's an upside to that. But the world doesn't see that. The world sees meekness as a weakness. The world sees being poor in spirit as a downfall. And we think if we are these things, then I guess we're not happy. So if we are meek, if we are hungering and thirsting for something we don't have, the word of God, then we're not where we should be. We think it's a negative thing, but it's not. Because God says, blessed are those, .. So the secret to happiness, are you ready? There isn't one. I'm sorry. There is one, but no, there really is one. The secret to happiness is to be content. It's to be content. But you're content when you're living in God's presence.
There you go.
And when you're living in God's presence, guess what? You said it. Joy comes. Joy. What?
Yeah.
Joy. Joy is so much better than happiness, because happiness, once again, it's fleeting. When joy sticks around, because joy is deeper.
Yeah, that's right.
Joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Joy is a what? A fruit of the Spirit. So if the happiness is in the soul man, who is the human part of us, that's unruly, it needs to be kept in check. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to build up our spirit man.
Yeah, that's right.
Living in God's presence. And joy comes.
That's right.
That fruit.
Good stuff.
Is produced. So the secret of happiness isn't really a secret. We just have to stop messing it up with all of our wanting.
There you go.
So joy comes when we live in God's presence. Go to Psalm 21, please. Psalm 21. So joy comes, the secret to happiness, when we are living in God's presence. Psalm 21, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Verses 5 through 7. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. This is David talking about how he is because of God's presence. He's talking about himself. If you want, you can change a couple of words in here and make it about you. Make a declaration and say, through the victories you gave, my glory is great. You have bestowed on me splendor and glory. Surely you have granted me unending blessings and made me glad with the joy of your presence. For I trust in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, I will not be shaken. In a world where celebrity, success, and money are glorified, it is easy to lose focus of what brings real joy. Put simply, this verse says, victories are good, glory is great, and splendor and majesty are their results. But my joy comes when I spend time in God's presence. Because when you're in God's presence, how can you not be content? It's impossible. And the minute we're out of it again, the minute we're away from it again, we're in discontent. All of a sudden, we wonder why things aren't working in our lives like they should be. And once we're back in the Word again, we're like, wait, this was really great. Why don't I stay here? But the biggest killer of contentment, and this is in my opinion, the biggest stealer of joy is the desire to be liked. and maybe you just disagree, I don't know. But when we go to work, when we have children, when we go to family events, all we want to do is be liked. And maybe that word might be confusing, I'm not sure, but I want my point to be clear. We just want to walk into a room and be noticed, right? Mm-hmm. And when we're noticed, we're happy, right? We think, this is great. Somebody noticed me. Someone remembers my name. I met you 12 times, and you remembered my name finally. Finally, yeah, I've met you before. Yep, I've shaken your hand 11 times before. Yes, yes. Thanks for remembering my name, please. Thank you. But I want to tell you this. I'm going to end with this. This may sound like a strange idea, but quite often we feel bad when we are left out of different activities, thinking that there is something wrong with us. Am I right? Mm-hmm. But is it possible that people leave us out because there is something right with us? David spoke of those evil motives. Go to Psalm. You're in Psalm. Turn to 119. And we're going to go towards the front of it and read.
Just read the
whole. We got time, right? We've got time. Why not? It's a... We'll be here for a while. So 23 and 24 says, teach me, O Lord. I am reading the wrong verse because I can't see. It looks like a 23 and I'm looking at 33. Come on, eyes. 33? No, I want a 23. The rulers sit together and slander me. Mm-hmm. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. Mm-hmm. They are my counselors. So here's the last line. Even when David's enemies were hunting him down and closing in, he was able to compose joyful psalms. He rejoiced in his understanding that God, his Father, could flatten any army, resolve any conflict, and confuse the plans of those who sought to kill him. He was joyful in the Lord. So how do we find happiness? We need to be content. Mm-hmm. And we're content when we're living in God's presence. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If anyone has a need of prayer, please come up. I don't want to... I can't think of the word escaping.